Amen to the song service today. God is still good. No matter what trial you might be facing, no matter what you might be going through, He's still good. This week, we had a great week, had a great midweek service, probably one of the better services we've had around here in a while. I really enjoyed it. We had a whole bunch of people from South Carolina come up. They were up here traveling and had stayed down at the Days Inn and wanted to go to church somewhere and Googled independent King James Bible churches in the area, and they found this one. And whenever they got here, they left feeling like they had been to church, and I appreciate it. The Lord showed up, and that's what made the difference. And but they were just complimentary toward you folks that were here, and they just kept on and on. Even this morning, got another message from those folks saying that they were praying for our service and asked if we would remember them. They were from two different churches down there. One of them's Narrow Way Baptist Church, and I don't remember the name of the other one. But anyway, they're both down in and around McCormick, South Carolina. But anyway, they enjoyed being with us. By way of announcement this morning, don't forget that if you're a part of the VBS, be prepared for that. Brother Justin needs some folks here after the service to help move this heavy book board and this table here. And we'll move it over into the side room just immediately after the service this evening to kind of get ready for the platform for the VBS. If you've got a copy of God's Word, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Once the Lord's got your heart, which what we preached about Wednesday night, once the Lord's got your heart, you better prepare your minds, because that's where the devil's coming. He's coming after your mind. He's going to give you thoughts that you would never think apart from Christ. You wouldn't think those, except that you'd be apart from Christ. You wouldn't think thoughts like that. But the Sunday school lesson today was the mind of Christ, and let the mind of Christ be in you. And if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you're going to think on the benefits of God, the glories of God, the splendors of God. You're not going to think on the baser things that would take away from what God has done. That was a high price for our sin. That was a high cost to your salvation. I've said it, and I've said it, that salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And I believe that with my heart. I can back it up with the Scripture. It's free to whoever come and let him take of the water of life freely, but it was not a cheap salvation. It cost him everything. Give you a couple definitions of a couple different words, because they're going to bear right into the message today. And anybody in here want to quickly confess to a habit they've got? Anybody got a habit? Listen, habits are not all bad. Some habits are good habits. You can have bad habits, you can have good habits. But I've got a bad habit of biting my nails. I pick them and I bite them. When I'm nervous and I got a lot of stress on me, I find myself just sitting there. And I'm always picking at my nails. And Miss Macy's the same way. She'll find a little piece of meat there, and next thing you know, she ripped it all the way up to her wrist. And then I'm serious. She'll take a picture and say, I got a good one going here. And it'll be about that long, you know. It'll be a big old piece of skin. And we know they're going to go down into the quick. We know they're going to bleed, but yet you do it anyway. And that's just a bad habit I've got. Some of y'all won't confess yours because they're just worse than mine. Ryan's the same way. He bites his nails. He picks his nails. He'd bite his toenails if he'd get his feet up there. I promise. He would. And he's shaking his head. I'd bite mine if I get my feet up there. But anyway, some of you may have habits, and some of you may have some things that you just wouldn't admit to. But a habit is namely this. It's a mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary. It's also a manner of conducting oneself. It's a habit. You just, good or bad. Miss Cindy's got a hand-washing compulsion. You shake her hands, and it's not going to be long. She's going to bring out the Germ-X. We keep it under the pulpit. We've got it everywhere. But when you shake 250 people's hands, and you take your handkerchief and put it straight to your mouth, what are you doing? You're just taking 250 people's germs and putting it in your mouth. We go out to eat. Before we get the basket of chips on the table, what's she doing? She's handled the menu, so she's germ-exing her hands. And I call it a habit. Why? Because she does it almost involuntarily, Brother Kenny. She breaks the germ-ex out. Is that a good habit or bad habit? It's not a bad habit. I mean, unless you just like germs, then let her be. It's not hurting anybody. But that's the definition of a habit, a mode or behavior that's become almost completely involuntary. You just do it. You don't even think about it. And then I want to give you the definition of holy. Everybody thinks they know what holy is, or being holy, or the holiness. Holy means having divine qualities. Christ told us to God told us in His Word to be ye holy, for I am holy. So to be holy is to exhibit divine qualities, to be sanctified as one perfect in goodness is another definition of being holy. And then the last one is to be devoted to the only deity, which is God. That's to be holy, to be devoted to the only deity, which is God. Oh, there's a lot of deities, but there's only one deity, which is Jehovah God. So I want to preach a message today on the habits of the holy. Some of you think you got this thing all figured out, and you almost through repetition or involuntary actions and means, we go to church and we do the things that we do, and we do them almost in redundancy. We do them out of necessity. We do them out of an act of a habit. And I do believe that we need to go beyond that. You'll see this in this message today as we try to preach a message on the habits of the holy. I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word even now. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go several places as we normally do. But we'll start out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And Paul's breaking down the behavior between believers early on. Then he gives us a very stern warning against sexual immorality in verses number 12 down through number 20. I'm going to pick up the reading in verse number 15 and go down through there. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Brother Varun, ask God to bless us. Amen. As you're being seated, let me just say that habits are hard to break. They are. That's why, Miss Angela, when I saw your daddy just a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, when we were over there, your daddy had a habit. You know what that habit was? He liked to go to church. And he did it almost as an involuntary behavior. Why? Because he didn't have to ask Miss Jeanette, "Are we going to church?" That was just what they did. And we can do those things in an involuntary fashion. It's Sunday, we go to church, and we can do them in a repetitive nature to where we almost become callous to it. But I suggest to you now that old habits are hard to break, because how much would he love to be here? How much would he love to be worshiping? And now that he would do it, not out of a sense of a habit or a sense out of redundancy, but Brother Tim, if he were able to come in here today, he would do it out of a sense of devotion rather than out of a sense of dread. Some people just dread coming to church. Some people dread having to read their Bible. Brother Chris, when you worked for the post office, I know this for a fact, you dreaded going to work. And therefore, you don't work at the post office anymore. Now you actually have to do physical labor, and you work for a different taskmaster. Robbie, that didn't come out right. But anyway, your taskmaster now lets you sit down and everything. But sometimes it's a dread. Robbie, when you turn on the news and you see that it's going to be 99 degrees today, and the relative humidity is going to be about 92%, do you almost not have a sense of dread of having to go out and do that? Sure you do. I would. I worked out yesterday outside a little while and had three or four heat strokes and a couple cases of heat exhaustion. It was awful out there. And even when I went to bed last night, my tongue felt like a piece of parchment paper. It was dried out. I couldn't get enough fluid. But anyway, there was a sense of dread attached to that. But whether we're going to work out of devotion because my family needs to eat, or whether by, because I'm going out of duty because I want my family to eat. You've got a set of things that you do every single day. And today I want to preach about the habits of the holy, because there are some defined things that holy people do. And you do it out of a sense of habit, Brother Robbie. Do you realize on Mother's Day, I picked up my cell phone and my mama's number's still in there. I thought about calling mom on Mother's Day. Why? Because that's something I did for the last many, many years. I just pick up the phone and I'd call mom on Mother's Day just to tell her Happy Mother's Day. And you do it almost involuntarily. Why? Because it's a habit. It's something I do. And you're going to find out in your mind, if you'll be honest today, you've got some things that you do as habit forming. But anyway, today I want you to think these things and keep these things in context. Paul's warning the church about unlawful deeds of sinful actions of the flesh, and he talks about how that some of them have become almost ingrained into them. And then he tells them the high price of their sin, the high price of their redemption, the high price of what caused them to be able to be redeemed. And that's why he puts that in there. Know that your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. If we started thinking about the high cost of our sin, then some of these bad habits would have to go away, and we wouldn't start embracing new habits. The habits of the holy. Brother Kenny, they go to church. You don't have to tell a lost man to go to church. Why? Because he ain't even going to go there. He ain't thinking about church. And bless God, Brother Greg, you shouldn't have to tell a saved man to go to church. Why? Because it ought to be out of his heart. I want to go down there and worship my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lost man's not likely to go to church without somebody inviting him. But if you're the one that's saved and been saved any length of time, he shouldn't be a preacher. He shouldn't be a deacon. He shouldn't be one of the visitation team meters having to come to your door and tell you, Brother Chris, it's Sunday morning coming up tomorrow. You need to go to the Lord's house. It ought to be ingrained into you. It ought to be one of the habits of the holy that, bless God, because it's the Lord's day, I'm going to go down there and worship him. Why? Because a holiness, because a habit is what? Is behavior that almost has become involuntary. You don't even realize you're doing it. But bless God, Brother Robbie, a saved person ought to go to church. A saved person ought to love the Lord. A saved person ought to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. A saved person ought to read their Bible. A saved person ought to support the functions of the church. A saved person ought to give their tithes and their offerings unto the Lord. A saved person ought to do those, Brother Kenny. Why? Because it ought to be out of a sense of devotion, and it almost be habit for me. Bless God, I got it this morning, and my wife had a check laying in there. You know what she did, Brother Kenny? She wrote a check. You said, what was she doing? She's doing the same thing she does every Sunday morning. She does it out of a sense of habit or a sense of devotion. Why? Because we've got missionaries that are going to be planning on eating next month. They're going to be planning on buying Bibles for their people. And a saved person does those things, Brother Tim. Did she get up this morning and say, Brother Tim, it's Sunday, we got to go to church. Get up, buddy. I don't think she did that at all. I don't think she had to do that. I don't think Miss Shirley had looked at you and said, are we going today? No, it's one of the habits of the holy. It's one of the things that you do automatically. It's one of those things, Brother John. Did anybody tell you to pray today? Did anybody say, hey, Brother John, the Lord's going to be coming there by the house today. Ask God to just help the preacher today. I hope that you prayed for your pastor because that's one of the things you usually do. I hope that you pray for your pastor. And I hope that, my friends, whenever I get into some of these latter things about the habits of the holy, I hope, bless God, that you'll look inside of your own home. I hope you'll look inside of your heart. I hope you'll look inside of your family and your heritage. And I want you to know something. God can take away some of those things that have become your habits. If it means causing you to move closer to holiness, he can surely do just that. And we're going to get into some of that in just a little bit. Saved people, forgive one another. Saved people, ask for forgiveness. Saved people, say, I forgive you. Saved people say, I'm sorry, Brother Kenny. They apologize. Saved people give the forgiveness on the other end. Saved people love the Lord. Saved people love the brethren. Saved people, they do the characteristics and the qualities of a Christian out of a sense of habit. They just do it. Going over again to another passage of Scripture, I want you to see the high cost of your sin. I want you to see what happened to make it to the point that Christ had to die. Go over to the book of Colossians just a minute. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. We're all right there in the New Testament for right now. But go to Colossians chapter number 3 and look with me in verse number 26 down through 29. I'm sorry, it's Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also you appear with him in glory. I see you say, what are you talking about there, preacher? I'm saying set your affection on the things above. Put your heart on things that matter. Brother Varun, I'm always using you at my disposal to fix this and fix that. Why? Because you're good at fixing this and fixing that. And I found myself yesterday, I had a little project I was working on, and I really needed some help. I was going to be about 30 feet off the ground, or 25 feet. How high was that, Brother Varun? 25 feet off the ground. And I was going to be messing in electrical wires. And I would rather Varun get electric. I mean, I'd rather Varun go up there and do that, because Varun knows what he's doing. And I called, I always go to my trusty Varun. I called him up and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm less than a mile from you. And I said, well, can you help me? Have you got a ladder big enough to reach that place we're going to be working? He said, I don't have one. And then it hit me and I said, quit calling Varun out of habit. Quit calling him out of a sense of habit. Call somebody else. Get Chris up on top of that ladder. Get somebody else up there. And then I sent him a text and I said, I'm sorry, Varun. I don't want to inconvenience you. I'd rather you sometime to come just for a visit rather than having to work while you're here, and I'll bother somebody else. Well, anyway, I ended up doing it myself. But I find myself doing the Lord the same way I was doing you, Brother Varun. I go to him because I need something. I go to him because he's my go-to. I go to him because he can fix my problem. Brother Tim, I do myself good. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go there, but once in a while, bless God, you ought to go to God just because he's God and say, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. Varun, I want to thank you for helping me, but I want to thank God for saving me. Call on him when just out of a sense of habit. That's okay, but call out of just to say, hey, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you always doing for me. Moral of that story, I didn't fall. I'm standing here preaching. I didn't break my neck. I didn't get electrocuted. And everything worked out fine. I sent him a picture. I had the ladder in the back of my truck, and I had it extended as far as it would go. But I was safe. I took a ratchet strap and attached it to one of the tie downs in the bed of the truck so it couldn't kick out. And if I was going to get electrocuted, I'm going to have to go against the rubber because I wasn't grounded because I'm on my truck tire. Listen, I put some thought into this. That's intelligence right there, brother. But I call you out of a sense of habit. Something goes wrong when I call Varun. Varun and I got to know each other really well when I was the proud owner of a Nissan. Everywhere I went, that thing, he was my AAA. But we ought to set our things on affections on the things above. It says in verse number 2 of that third chapter of Colossians, to set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. That's what one of the habits of the holy do, Brother Varun. They're always thinking about heavenly things. I've got a friend of mine that's deceased now. His name was Brother Kenny Hawkins. And Kenny always had his mind on spiritual things. I don't care what it was. He would see anything and he would spiritualize it. My wife's coming along in that, and I thank God for my wife. I threw a rock yesterday. When I did, I hit my left thumb against my weed eater frame, and it blackened my fingernail under there, Brother Kenny. I was throwing a rock, and I had the weed eater over here, and I threw the rock, and I slammed it. And my wife says, there's a message in that. And I said, please tell. She said, don't throw rocks. She went back to a message I'd preached about throwing rocks. Drop your rocks. People that have the habits of the holy, Brother Kenny, that's what they do. They see those Bradford pear trees, and Kenny did that all the time. He'd say, you need to cut them things down. He said, ain't no nothing good in a carnal Christian tree. And I said, what? He said, that's a carnal Christian tree. That thing ain't good for nothing but to cut down. And I said, Brother Kenny, what in the world are you talking about? Have you lost your mind? He said, those trees, he said, man, they look good. He said, they bloom out. They're very pretty to look on. He said, but when's the last time you got a piece of fruit off of one of them things? They don't bear fruit. Right. He said, not only that, the first storm that comes along, them trees go all to pieces. Right. That's what his spiritual life. He's got his mind on heavenly things. And that's what one of the habits of the holy would do. They will think about spiritual things. They'll spiritualize everything. My wife and I, driving down the road, one day. And Brother Robbie, I'm looking at the backs of all these signs and they're facing away from me. And I thought, what nut put these signs up facing the other direction? Somebody needs to go get a job and learn how to do signs just right. Who in the world would work for the State Department that don't even know how to hang a sign and make it face the right way? And my wife and her intelligence said, has it ever considered to you or occurred to you that you're driving the wrong way on a one-way street?
Yeah.
No wonder the signs are facing the other way. Here I am with Isaiah, Brother Greg, pronouncing woe when everybody works for the State Department and get over to chapter 6 and woe is me because I'm the one going the wrong direction. That's another true story. We didn't go but about a half a mile or more, maybe a mile, I don't know how far. Saved people think about spiritual things. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter number 3 just a minute. I'm not through with talking about the price to get you to where you're at today. Do you realize you're not just sitting here looking pretty because you deserve to sit in here and look pretty? You know what we deserve, Miss Jessica? Oh, congratulations. This two right here growing the church, praise God. They've got two beautiful babies in January the 17th of next year. Lord willing, they're going to bring another one into the world. I'm telling you folks, grow the church, people. Right?
Right.
Preach.
Right.
You're not sitting in here just to look pretty or take up a pew. I hope you're sitting out of here because it's one of the habits of your holiness. Brother Greg, when God saved you, you want to be somewhere found worshiping the Lord. You want to be somewhere where the Word of God is preached with boldness, with excitement, with vigor, with determination, Brother John, to reach across boundaries and reach across genealogies and reach across all kinds of things to reach that one which needs to be reached. Galatians chapter number 3, I believe it is. Verse number 26. Galatians 3 and 26 says, you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free, neither is there male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs in according to the promise. You said, what'd you bring that in for? I wanted you to see what he expects out of you. I want you to see the price that was paid for you. I want you to see that you're not your own. You were bought with a price. For many of you have been baptized into Christ. I'm going to another passage of scripture, Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Verse number 28. Then this thing's getting ready to change gears. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28. I read a little illustration about a preacher by the name of H.E. Lukoc. And he got on a train heading from one town to another, and he was heading back to his own home place, and he had been preaching meetings, and he finally was hurrying into the train station. I think it was over in England, and he was hurrying to the train station. He finally jumped up on the train platform just as the last car was getting ready to pull out, and he slung himself up onto the step board and jumped up into one of the cars, and he settled down for a nap until he reached his station. And then about 20 minutes before he got to the station, he finally awoke, and he was happy to see that there were signs and indications that he was coming up on the town that he was to get off in. So he hurried his stuff together and he ran forward to get off the train, but the train just kept going full speed ahead and didn't even stop in this town. He runs up to the front of the boxcar and the conductor said, can I help you, sir? And he said, I was supposed to get off back there. And he said, the train didn't stop. He said, look, he said, you got on the wrong train. He said, if you were going to stop back there, you should have got on the other train that was coming after this one. So after all, he wasn't late after all, Brother Ken. He was on time or early. But anyway, you said, what'd you bring all that up for? They told him he's going to have to go on to the next city to get off. And I'm afraid that there've been a whole lot of people that have woken to find themselves in the same fix that this old preacher was. They started off with some habit. They started off thinking that it would be okay and that they could stop it in its own time or in their own time. Friends, it's hard to stop a train. He couldn't stop that train. He just thought, well, I'll jump on and I'll jump off. Brother, if that thing ain't going where you're going, you can't stop it. And my friends, that's the way a lot of bad habits are. You can't stop it. They'll start dabbling with a little bit of sin and they'll think, well, this ain't going to hurt me. I ain't going to mess with it. I'll just stop it when it comes around and when I get caught up or whatever. I'll stop it. Bless God, get out of that mode of thinking and get on 28 verse of chapter number 20. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Lord, the Holy Ghost, hath made you the overseer to feed the church of God. And listen to these next few verses, my friends. It said, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The habits of the holy, Brother Kenny, they remembered that there was a high price for their sin. It cost him everything, Brother Tim, that Tim Anderson might be redeemed from the curse of the law. It cost him everything. You said, so where are we going now? We got to go all the way back to 2 Samuel. We're going to close this thing down just a few minutes. 2 Samuel, chapter number 14. If your habits, listen to me and listen to me clearly. If your habits take you somewhere every Sunday, except to the Lord's house, you say, well, what if I'm at the beach? Go to the Lord's house. What if I'm here? Go to the Lord's house. What if I'm in Gatlinburg? Find you a Lord's house. You said, do you go to the beach? Jake, you went with us for the first time ever. Did we go to the Lord's house? Surely we did. We went to Stillwaters Baptist Church, where we've gone every year for the last 20 plus years. If your habits take you somewhere other than a place of worship on the Lord's day, Brother Kenny, you need to break that habit. You said, that's the only day we got to go. I worked 5 days, 6 days, and that Sunday, that's my day. No, that's the Lord's day. Am I right or wrong, preacher? Is that the Lord's day? Does the Bible say it's the Lord's day? Then it's the Lord's day.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the 14th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel for a reason. There was an ongoing fight between a man by the name of Absalom and his dear daddy by the name of David. Am I right or wrong? If you'll remember, King David sinned. Nathan put his finger on the sin. I preached a message about that just a couple weeks back. When God puts his finger on your sin, Nathan put his finger on his uncle's sin. Nathan gets right in the king's face. He tells him a story about a man that has all that he could ever hope for, and then a man that's just got one little ewe lamb. And he tells a story about the man that had it all and how he took that one ewe lamb. He could have had anything, but he was pointing his finger at David, who took the wife of Uriah. Nathan put his finger on that, Brother Kenny. In that moment of lust and passion and sin, the sword would never depart the house of David. And then you go on and you find out that David had a daughter by the name of Tamar. She was beautiful to look upon, but he also had two sons. And those two sons had a relationship. They were half brother-sister to Tamar. And the Bible said Amnon fell a-lusting for his sister. And then the Bible tells us later on that what happened was Amnon raped his sister Tamar, and that Absalom slew his brother Amnon. You say, what's that all about? Sin had entered the camp.
Right.
You say, what are you bringing us to this chapter number 14, the book of 2 Samuel 4? I want to show you something. It's been two long years. I believe it to be verse number 26. You can look with me. I believe it to be verse number 26. It says, actually, it's verse number 28. The Bible tells us that Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. So what's that mean? He didn't see his daddy for 2 long years. You see what was going on right there? There was still some animus between the two of them. There was still some hostility between the two of them. But the Lord's been working in a man's heart. He's been working in Absalom's heart. And you know what he's got? He got it in his mind that I got to go see the king. So what's he do, Brother Chris? He said, I'm going to send Joab, one of the king's liaisons, to go tell the king that I need to see him. I need to tell daddy that I want to see him. You say, well, how's all that work into this? I want to tell you what happened was this. Joab had a field, and that field was full of something. You say, what was in his field? Brother Vroon, every day he went out there. I believe it was a habit for him. I believe, Brother Kenny, that he got to looking at the barley, and I believe he got to saw the barley wave. Brother Chris, I believe he cared about the barley. I believe he sent servants into the barley. I think he got to think about the price of barley. He probably checked the commodities market to see how much barley's trading for on the open market. How much cane sugar can I get out of my barley? How many sheep can I get out of my barley? How much corn can I get in trade for my barley? What can I get in exchange for my barley crop? My barley crop's doing good. Let me tell you, my friend, you get your eyes on barley. You get your eyes on something. You get your eyes out there. And Brother Kenny, you know what? It becomes habit for me. You'll start going to the lake every Sunday. You'll You'll start going to the mountain every Sunday. You'll start doing this every Sunday. You'll start doing that every Sunday. You say, what's the danger in that, preacher? Because, bless God, your habit is a bad habit, and it's not a habit of holiness. You've took away from God, and now you're forming your own habit, and they lead away from God rather than to God. And you read the story with me. Joab has got this waving field of barley, and then in turn, you know what Absalom says to his men, Brother Tim? Said, Joab got a field over there. He won't listen to me. I'm trying to get him to go see the king on my behalf. He got this habit every day just after tending his barley. He could care less about me. He could care less about anything. He's just so fixated on this barley. Absalom says to his men, set it on fire. Is that scripture? I believe we're right there on verse number 29. Read along with me. Verse number 29 says these words. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have him sent to the king, but he would not come to him. How many times did people say, I will not? Brother Kenny, ain't that the age-old song of the rebellious heart of the nature of man? Ain't that what they say? They said, consider the old paths and walk therein. What they say, we will not. I put you in chapter number 33 of the book of Ezekiel the other day, and that the people will hear you. Come on, Wyatt. That the people would hear you as a lovely song, one who played well upon the instruments. And I put you on that verse of scripture. And you would hear it as a lovely song, but they would not do what the Ezekiel said. Absalom said, I want you to go, Joab, and see the king on my behalf. The Bible said Absalom sent for Joab to have him sent to the king, but he would not come. He said, all right, I'm going to ask him again. Read on with me. He said, so he sent for him a second time. Joab, I'm wanting to talk to Daddy. We've been in rebellion against each other. My heart has been rebellious against the king. My heart's been in rebellion against the daddy. How many of you have been in rebellion against the king? How many of you at some point in time have been rebellion against King Jesus? And how many times has somebody said, hey, I'm sending to you a second time. I'm warning you again. Listen, you formed habits that took you away from God. You've had habits and traits or behaviors that are now involuntary, using the definition of a habit. You've done things that now you're doing them without even thinking about them. They're involuntary actions that you just do. Every time the calendar rolls, you do it because it's on the calendar. And I go here, I go there. And everything I do has took me away from God rather than take me to Him. Joab, in verse number 29, sent it to him the second time. Read it with me. I'm not making anything up. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to have him sent to the king, but he would not come to him. And he sent it to him again the second time, and he would not come. Therefore, he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set that field on fire. Brother, do you know what God might have to do to get you to break your habit of unholiness? I'm preaching on the habits of the holy. Brother Chris, God can take that that's so precious to you. I bless God. You said God would never take a baby out of my arms. You better know my God. He did it when David and Bathsheba conceived that sin, that child in sin. God took that baby straight on the glory. David got down and he got as low as he could get, and he realized, I can't bring the baby back. The men come in and said, David, the baby's gone. David said, I can't bring him back, but I should go to him. Don't tell me God won't take something precious to you. He's done it for historical time. He'll do it again. Bless God, the habits of the holy would be honoring the king and worshiping the king rather than going against the king to make him even have to do something. You said, well, that Absalom did that. Who did it belong to ultimately? Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. You're not your own. We just covered that. And the Bible said in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28, take heed unto the flock that you feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You're not your own, preacher. You might think you are. I'm my self-made man. I do what I please. I do what I want to do. I'll tend my barley if I want to. I'll do this if I want to. That's the problem. Your want-tos. When your want-tos don't line up with God's, you got a problem. I heard Brother Woody one time say, I can drink all the liquor I want to. Even after being saved, Brother Woody, he said, yes. Sit about right here. He said, I can drink all the liquor I want to. I just don't want to. Why? Because he's changed fountains. There's something inside of him, Brother Kenny, that changed the want to of man. If I want to do that, I'll do that. And you ain't going to stand in my way. I can't stand in anybody's way. But God has called me to preach. He has sent this message to me today to tell somebody that the habits of the holy, bless God, they exhibit that, Brother Varun, that exalts God. They go to, everything gives glory to God. A preacher that gets filled with pride and he gets vaulted in himself, he's got a habit that he needs to break. That's a bad habit. Why? Because, brother, he's not taking and giving all the glory to God. He's taking it and keeping it for himself. And that's a bad habit. You need to get off of that. God could kill me today and he'd raise up another preacher. He'd give y'all another pastor. Any glory belongs to God. And when a man takes that for himself, he got a bad habit. Yes. He'd give everything back to God. Why? Because I belong to him. He's the one that hath enabled me. He's the one that hath chosen me. Well, how's that story end? Keep going. Verse number 31. And then Joab arose and came to Absalom's house. And I want you to see this question, because this question bears repeating. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom into his house, and he said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? What's he asking? What's he say? What's that in layman's terms? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Why did you set my field on fire? How many people, bless God, will stand before God and they'll hit their knees, Brother Kenny, and they'll say, why? Why, God? Why, Brother Tim? Never having been in his presence, never having been in an altar, never having been anywhere to honor and exalt him and lift him up, and they'll sit there and say, why? And then there'll be the saved people, Brother Kenny. They know better. They know better. Lord, why did you put this on us? Would he have to settle to remind you through a song or a message that this is why? The habits of the holy, Brother Greg, don't make God do mean things. God's not a mean God. Oh, but he is a God of judgment. We got to preach on the God of love. And oh, he loves everybody. He does love everybody. But is he not a jealous God? Does vengeance belong to him, or am I reading that wrong? The Bible said, vengeance is mine, thus I will repay. That's what the Bible says. It all belongs to God. Joab said, why'd you do that? Why'd you set my field on fire? Read on. Read on. Why did you set my field on fire? Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sin unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me that he had been there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. If there be any iniquity in him, let him kill me. Joab came to the king. I'll tell you what, Brother Kenny. I believe something happened to get Joab's attention, didn't it? What got his attention? It was the great loss. It was the loss of a barley field. It's not just barley. As Brother Chris was talking to me just the other day, barley was important, Brother Chris. Barley was worth more than just a simple wheat. Barley was precious, was it not? Was I talking to somebody else? Was that you in the barley message? It was you. Are you all right? All right. Just checking. Barley was important. And he's lost every bit of his. What happened? He didn't listen. What's happening all over the land today, Brother Kenny? Why are people dropping off into the devil's hell? Because they're not listening. Why are people still going through hard times? They're not listening. Why are people still having to go visit their kids every other week or every other month in a juvenile camp somewhere? Why do we still have Larry Key and Marlene going into the juvenile centers? Why do we still have prisons? Why do we even need them anymore? Because people don't listen. This is a standing message today to somebody. I'm going to go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. See, I've been in Daniel a whole lot here lately. The king made a foolish decree. Daniel, I don't want to hear more about your God. Or chapter 6, I believe that it is. I was in 5 last week when I preached. Daniel chapter number 6. Darius made a foolish decree. Daniel said, I really don't care about your old decree. Daniel said, I really could care less, O king. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, in verse number 10, he went into his house, his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. What's the next 3 words? Anybody following me? As he did. What's the next one? What's that mean? What's that mean?
A habit.
A habit. What is a habit? Something that you do regularly, that it almost becomes involuntary. Brother, the king said, hey, you ain't going to do this and you ain't going to do that. When you hear the music, you're going to bow. You ain't going to pray to your God. You're going to pray to this statue. You ain't going. The king's laying out all these decrees. Daniel just went in as he had. Did he crawl up in a corner somewhere and shut out? Did he board up everything and pray really meek and quiet in the corner, Brother Kenny? The Bible said he did what he'd always done. He wasn't trying to be blasphemous toward the king. He wasn't trying to make a statement toward the king, but the Bible says with the windows being open, he didn't close them. It didn't say that he opened them, but it said with the windows being open, Brother Kenny, he did what he had aforetime. You see, he is exhibiting the habits of the holy. Brother Chris, he had always done that. If that's what he's always done, he said, that's what I'm going to always do. We can read on, and Daniel's a great read. You say, well, boy, that really cost him. Did it? It gave us a great story. Because Darius heard of that, said, seize him, put him into a den that is full of lions. I don't say a lion's den, because that could be possessive with one lion in it, that being the lion's den. Brother, that was a den that was full of lions. And Daniel got thrown in that thing. And I don't know how dark, I don't know how damp, I don't know how cool that it might have been. But he had one of them things scooch up real close to him for warmth. He probably had one stretch out for a pillow. He had another one that might have just give him shelter. He might have had one that just stood guard over him. I don't know how all them lions treated themselves. You said, well, they weren't hungry. You read on. I'm not going to get into all that. That's a whole other message for another day. But them that threw him in got thrown in before they even hit the bottom, brother. They was gobbled up. As we stand and Brother Scott comes, let me just ask you a couple questions. Is God going to have to take something precious from you to get you to honor him and start exhibiting the habits of the holy? Behaviors are funny things. I didn't realize this, but years ago, my wife and myself and my daughters went to Washington, D.C. with Dad. I didn't realize it until Cindy pointed it out. I guess I just, since I was little, right, I'd never spent that many days with Dad, 12, 14, 18 hours a day. I just didn't. But while we were up there, we're together every minute. Cindy and my stepmother, Carolyn, got to talking. And you know what she said, Brother Kenny? She said, I didn't know that, but she said, you're just like your daddy. I didn't know this, Ryan. You and I were alienated for many years. I would see each other in passing once on a blue moon, meet at mom's or see each other at dad's or something. That's not really a relationship. We're brothers, but... Annette, you know what? The conversation between you and Cindy said, them two boys are just alike. They say we're just alike. And you know what? We act like our daddy. You said, is there a message in that? Oh. How did we get those? They can't be taken away. Because we are his son. We are Wayne Hall's son. Like that or not. We are his son. His blood is in us. Mom and Dad come together and had 5 sons. We can't deny that. We are his son. You say, are you going somewhere with this? Bless God, if you've been born of the Spirit, you are His son. You will exhibit His traits. You will take on His characteristics. And you should, if you're saved by His marvelous grace, you should have the habits of the holy. You should. Why? Because He is holy. Now, ask yourself this question. I'm just not bearing the habits of the holy. I've got other agenda and I've got my own thought process. Then you need to be broken. I hate to put it that way, but the Bible says the Lord deals with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I'm thankful that He doesn't throw the clay away. We'd be all thrown off in the dustbin of life and history. 18 of the book of Jeremiah said He made it again as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Brother, He had to break that clay down. Put in that precious water. The water is the washing of the word, Brother Chris. And He made it again as it seemed good to the potter. I don't know if you've got good habits or bad habits. I know some of you. All of you, I don't know. I know some of you'd rather go anywhere but to the Lord's house, and that's kind of troubling. Brother Scott's got us a song of invitation today. I just ask you this. If you need to come, the altar's open.